All right, if you'll take your Bible, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 20 and studying verses 45 to 47 today. And, you know, it's such a privilege to be able to study these verses together, not just because we're a bunch of students who like studying or anything like that, but because we believe that God has spoken in the Bible and that he still speaks through what he has spoken, and we definitely need him to speak to us today and tell us what to think and what to believe and what to do for a lot of different reasons, obviously. But one of the big reasons is because there are all these other people out there telling us what to think and what to believe and what to do. There are just so many different ideas coming at you all the time. People have opinions and thoughts and convictions about pretty much everything. And sometimes it feels like they're constantly sharing them with you too and trying to get you to think the way that they think and do what they do, which of course is often very helpful, honestly, because there's a lot that we don't know about. And there's a lot that we can be wrong about. And so I am glad that there are people out there who can help us out and that we have access to lots more people than probably ever before in human history who can give input into what we're thinking or what we're wanting to do. But sometimes all that input is actually not so helpful, really, but more frustrating as you're out there just trying to live your life, because you can't just do what you want to do, you know? You've got all these people around you with all these opinions about the way that you're doing it who are trying to weigh in. And even if they don't, actually, you've got a lot of voices on the internet too now. And so you're not just thinking about a subject on your own anymore, usually. You're Googling whatever it is that you want to think about and finding, like, 3,000 different videos with 3,000 different people telling you what they think about. And it can be confusing if you're trying to be humble, because you know that you don't know everything, but you also know that not every opinion is a good one. And yet some people share their opinions so confidently that you think they must know what they're talking about. And you're thrown by what they have to say. And maybe even start thinking about changing how you think or what you're wanting to do, which can be a problem when what you're thinking is what you were supposed to think. And what you were wanting to do is what you're supposed to want to do. And so some people shut down given that. Because, I mean, obviously you got to come up with a plan for dealing with all this information and all these different opinions that you're constantly hearing. And so some people are like, you know what? No more opinions. I'm done. I'm not gonna listen to anybody. I'm not gonna accept counsel. I'm gonna try to live my life on my own, doing my own thing. And you can understand that temptation maybe, but the problem is that it's not really possible in the end, because you're human, and it's not how God designed humans to live. We are made to receive counsel. And you see that if you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden and look at the original blueprint, because there's Adam, like fresh out of the box, no sin. And yet God's having to come to Adam and tell him, this is who you are. This is how the world works. This is what you're supposed to do. And so that's not a flaw in the design or a bug in the system. That is the system. There is nobody who lives life without accepting counsel from others first. I mean, for example, to even speak a language, you're going to have to borrow words from other people that you don't know, which they already define for you. And the words that they gave you to use, whether you know it or not, are shaping the way you view reality. Which is why you find that even the person who is most stubbornly claiming to be self-sufficient, I don't need others, I don't listen to others, is usually really just going to be blocking out the people close to him who know him, but still like going to the internet and getting all kinds of instruction from YouTube videos or something, which for some reason he takes super seriously, because that's just how we work all the way down. And so we can't just decide to isolate and not receive input. But then, of course, we can't just start accepting every opinion out there as equally valid either, which sometimes feels a little more humble, you know, especially when you're talking about opinions that are coming from people who are claiming to be Christians. We can feel like some of us, who am I? I don't want to judge. We don't want to be wise in our own eyes, going around thinking we're smarter than everybody else. That would be awful, like the worst way to live life. But still, there is good counsel. And there is bad counsel. And there is truth. And there is error. So what do we do? If we can't just close our ears to all the different things people are telling us, and if we can't just accept everything everybody's saying all the time, how are we supposed to live in this world right now with all this information and all these opinions and all these ideas constantly coming at us? Jesus tells us in Luke 20, verses 45 to 47, one thing we absolutely must do. And then he gives us some help knowing how we can do it. And he tells us why it's so important we do it. What, why, and how. And while I'm sure some of what he says is not going to be that surprising to you, I do think we pretty much always need to hear it. And we see here that Jesus clearly thought his disciples did at that particular moment, maybe partly because he's about to leave them. If you remember, way back in the Gospel of Luke, it says Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem to die. And now he's finally gotten there in Luke 19 and 20. And he's been teaching in the temple and coming under attack as people are coming up and questioning and debating and trying to undermine what he's teaching. And he's been patient, and he's asked questions, and he's told stories, and he's responded in ways even where the people disagreeing with him said, "That's amazing." And they literally couldn't say anything back since he had taken them to scripture and he had proved his point. But still they won't listen. You know, they've got their opinion and they're sticking to it. And so Jesus turns from talking to them, all those people arguing with him, to his followers in verse 45. And Luke says, "And in the hearing of all the people, said to his disciples." Which is kind of a funny way of putting it, because he tells us this is in the hearing of all the people. And he didn't have to tell us that. Which means for some reason he wants us to know this is something Jesus wants everybody standing there to hear. But obviously must have been especially important for his followers to understand, because Luke writes, he said to his disciples. And so he's talking directly to them. And what he's saying is a warning, really. I think because he's looking around the temple and it's become crystal clear to him that there are people out there, religious people, important people, who are wrong and won't listen to him, and yet are also really influential and look pretty good on the outside to everyone else, and are pretty loud too. They're not shy. They're constantly telling others what to do, and yet are dangerous. And so Jesus explains what the disciples are going to need to do in light of that, and how to do it, and why it's so important they make sure to do it. And you see in verse 46 that he starts with the action they're going to need to take. In other words, what to do. He says, beware. And that's a command. And it's one of those commands that you got to keep doing. So it's not like one and done. I used to watch out. Now I'm fine. No, in this world right now, you have to constantly be on the alert, on guard, looking out for potential dangers and be ready to respond appropriately. Given all these ideas and opinions and convictions that are swirling around out there, you can't just sit back and see what happens. You're going to have to be concerned for yourself. Take care of yourself. And what he means is that you're going to have to kind of be like a foreigner who is living in a country that doesn't like foreigners. And this is an illustration, obviously. But imagine you lived somewhere, you moved somewhere that was really xenophobic. And even worse, maybe wherever you move doesn't like your country, especially where you came from. And yet that's where you live now for some reason. And so what do you do whenever you go out? Because you know there are going to be people who don't like you that you're interacting with and who are pretty happy to try to take advantage of you. Which means that you're going to have to constantly be on the lookout and noticing how people are acting. Like, who's around me right now? What are they saying? What are they doing? In a way that would be a lot different than you would have been back in your own country, right? Where you can sort of relax. But you want to stay safe living in a foreign country that doesn't like foreigners, and especially the country where you're from, that's not going to work. You're going to have to beware, be mentally alert. Not like weird or super paranoid or something, but careful as you go out there into the world, which is what Jesus is saying that we need to be like right now. We're not going to have an easy road to heaven. We need to have our expectations straight. You can't be like a soldier who's on the plane flying to war thinking when he gets to the Middle East, it's going to be mostly peaceful when he gets there. That's not how war works. And that's not usually how the Christian life works either, because there are really bad people out there and really bad ideas too. And that means you're always going to have to be keeping your guard up a little spiritually. I remember driving home from somewhere in Africa many years ago, and it was one of the biggest freeways that we had been on there. And so it wasn't like just a one or two lane road or something with giraffes running across it. It was like six lanes on the one side, which I know is not maybe how you normally think of Africa, but it was huge. And there was a lot of traffic. Though it wasn't quite rush hour, so people weren't stuck, but almost worse, because there were a lot of cars and they were driving fast. And we looked over, and in the middle of the highway, there was like a median, so a place you could stand. And there was this one guy standing there who was waiting to try to cross. And it was crazy, because like cars were flying by. And how do you cross a six-lane highway when you've got cars speeding past at 80 miles per hour? Like, I know I'm not for sure. I'm just going to be standing there. But if you had to, you know there's only one way. You're going to have to be extremely careful. Like, you can't just run across without looking, or you probably are going to die. Like, people did die that way. And do. And life is a highway. Or at least it's like a big highway. If we're not going to go with the song. It's like a big highway, where all these ideas and opinions are flying past us all the time. And how do you get to the other side without being crushed by bad ideas and bad opinions? You have to be careful. Beware. Only, honestly, in life, it's a little more difficult than just running across a highway. Because when you're running across a highway, you can see the cars out there. And you know if that car hits you, you're going to be in trouble. But we're talking about ideas and opinions here. And like we said, you can't just avoid every idea and opinion. And so that means you can't just run across life and avoid everything. But some of those ideas and opinions could kill you. And so you only have one option. You're going to have to become discerning. That's what Jesus means, I think, when he says beware. Because beware indicates that you're going to have to think a little, because there are people who are going to be dangerous who, for one reason or another, don't look like they are to us. Like these scribes, because they were the scholars, really. And their whole job was to teach other people the Bible. And they totally looked like they knew what they were talking about. But at this point, we're actually wrong at the most basic level, which in general is the picture we get in the Bible of the kind of influencers who can do the most harm, which means that if you're not able to tell the difference between people who are telling you the truth and people who aren't, you are going to be in serious trouble. And so Jesus warns us, watch out. You have to be able to identify spiritually dangerous people. And to do that, you're going to have to become discerning. In other words, you can't live your whole life like a baby. Because while babies are cute and there are some ways we should be like them, a baby's got no discernment. And so you put a baby on the ground and it doesn't matter what's down there, like socks, shoes, dog food. That baby is crawling over there and picking it up and putting it in its mouth. And some people are like that when it comes to who they listen to, whose opinions they let guide them. But that is dangerous. It is dangerous to try to live your life on your own without listening to anyone. And it is dangerous to live life without being really careful about who you're listening to. And you're listening to people all the time. How many podcasts do you have on your phone? How many opinions are you hearing every day? And so it's not, I don't think, that you're supposed to be 100% suspicious of everyone all the time, obviously. So it's not like we're supposed to live life like conspiracy theorists where we just thinking everybody's got the worst agenda. Because God does save people. And God does legitimately change people. And I'm definitely not saying, when I say beware, that you're supposed to become mean either. This is where it gets tricky. Because there are people who think being beware means becoming hypercritical. They're like, I've got beware down. And so it's like they're always looking for what somebody's saying wrong. And so you say something not quite right, and it's like, attack, heretic, die. Or even if you're just saying something that could possibly be taken the wrong way. Like they don't ask you to explain. They just assume the worst and immediately go after you. And yet that absolutely can't be what Jesus means when he tells his disciples to beware here. For one thing, because Jesus told them in Matthew 7, judge not lest you not be judged. And he's not contradicting himself and suddenly saying, you're not supposed to ever notice that somebody's wrong and be careful. He is saying, as you're being careful out there, you can't let yourself become these super harsh people who are so good at seeing the flaws in everybody else. That is not a spiritual gift. That is sin if you're like that. And unfortunately, being like that is probably more common among Christians than we like to admit. And it's not loving, because Paul says love believes all things. In 1 Corinthians 13:7. That's why I can say it's sin. And so love's instinct is to think the best. Like, I want you to be right. I mean, obviously, it's not stupid love, but it doesn't want you to be wrong either. Love wants you to be right, and it's always looking for a way that you could possibly be right until it's just so obvious that you're not. And so we're not talking about being suspicious or hypercritical or mean. We're not talking, when we say beware, about being self-righteous either or proud. Because it's weird, but there's a certain kind of twisted pleasure you can take in somebody else being wrong and you being the one who says they're wrong. And you can get a little honor for it in some places. Some people will call you courageous. That guy's so courageous. And everybody will, you can get in a group and everybody will pat you on the back. Like, hey, you're just looking out for the truth. But you know, you better be careful, because I'm sure that's what people were saying about the Pharisees as well, because they definitely were taking a stand. But the problem is that they were taking about a stand about stuff that didn't matter. And not taking a stand about the stuff that did. And Jesus actually pronounces a woe on them for that. He says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel, which is a pretty good trick, right? Like to strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Like you are on the lookout here, but you are all worked up about all the wrong issues, making a huge deal about this little gnat while missing the camel. Kind of like how when you're living in a scary place, I don't know how many of you have ever lived in a scary place, but if you ever lived in a scary place, sometimes you might get a dog. Like you think to yourself, I want a watchdog who can let me know when there's danger and protect me. And you're definitely thankful for a dog who barks when robbers are trying to break in. But some dogs bark about everything. I always remember being at somebody's house and they had one of these German shepherds, which to me is a scary kind of dog because my grandma had two of them and they always wanted to eat me whenever we visited. But they said this dog was so nice and safe, how people always say about their dogs. And you're like, he's so friendly to everyone. And I'm like, okay, I was young. And we're sitting around in a circle praying, and I've got my eyes closed. And all of a sudden, I hear like this growling, and I look up, and their German shepherd is standing there staring at me, growling, and looked like it wanted to jump on me. And I was like, amen, amen, man, help. It's good to watch out for your enemies. It's bad to bite your friends. But it's easy to make a big deal out of things God doesn't want you to make a big deal about and say, I'm just obeying this command to beware. But you're not. Because being beware doesn't mean being mean or that you have the right to be arrogant or hard on everyone or just shout about everything all the time. It means instead what? First of all, it means that you are humble enough to know that you can be influenced. And not always in a good way. Even if you've been a Christian for a while and know a lot. Because Jesus is talking to his disciples here. And you would think the disciples who had been with Jesus for 3 years could have easily spotted the problem with these proud religious leaders. But Jesus doesn't want them to assume just because they know some things now that they're automatically going to be safe in the future. Until we get to heaven, we always need to recognize that we're at war and we could get shot. But we're less likely to if we recognize that. It's kind of like when you teach someone to drive. There are two kinds of people you can teach to drive. One person, they're scared. They know they haven't driven much. They know how dangerous it is. The other person is like, sure, they're the best driver that ever existed. They just need to get in the car, even though they like have only been driving for a minute. And when I teach people to drive, well, actually, usually I have Marta teach people to drive. But when I teach people to drive, I don't want them to be scared, obviously. That's its own kind of danger if they're so scared, you know, like too scared. But if they're a little scared, that's great because they're going to be careful. But if they're not scared at all, I'm definitely scared because they should be a little scared because it's scary out there. And I feel like that with people spiritually sometimes as well. If you think you're so smart, you can never get in trouble, I'm worried for you. To beware, you need to be humble and realize that you're constantly being influenced, which is good because it means you can change. Like, I am so glad I can be influenced. Otherwise, I'd be stuck. But it is dangerous if you let yourself be influenced by the wrong people. And so you've always got to be willing to do some evaluating, to have a filter. You're running everything you're hearing through. And what you need to use to do that evaluating, obviously, is the scripture. I mean, that's got to be the ultimate test for whether something's true and good for you. Not simply whether you like it. But like, does this match up to what God says? Is this what God wants? Which takes work. Your powers of discernment need to be trained by constant practice to be able to identify what is good, what is evil, because it's hard to beware. And it's especially hard if you're lazy. But this work is worth it if you know the importance of truth and eternal things, because really that's what it's all about. Because obviously there's a lot of stuff out there in life that you can totally be chill about. Because it makes no difference, really. I know for me, in life, there's a lot of stuff I don't check, which would probably drive some of you crazy. Like when I'm building something, for example, some people are so precise. They like get out a tape measure for everything, and they measure, and they make these little marks with a pencil, and it's got to be just right. And I'm usually like, that is way too much work and boring. Let's just do it because I don't care. I always remember a guy who came to our house to help us with our kitchen cupboards. And man, he would like stay up to one or two just measuring. I'm like, please, I want to go to bed. I don't care. It's just a cupboard. Which I know is foolish and lazy for sure. And it's dangerous when it comes to truth, because whether you are believing a truth or a lie, that has massive consequences. And the person who's beware knows that, which is why he's so careful, he's humble, he evaluates everything by scripture, because he knows how much this matters, and he's willing to ask for help when he needs it, which I realize is really difficult for some people who don't want to admit that they don't know. And honestly, this, I think, can be one of the challenges of getting older or being a Christian for a long time, because people expect you to know. And so you don't want to let them down by admitting that you don't really know what you're talking about, which sounds like noble. You don't want to let them down, but it's probably more pride, honestly. You don't want to admit that you don't know because you feel like that's admitting weakness or something. But what? You are weak. Like, we all know that already. And so why do we have to pretend? This is way too important. And so we've got to constantly be asking God to help us be discerning and able to identify the kind of people and the kind of ideas that are going to do us spiritual harm. And then, of course, we need to be willing to ask others for help as well. We're a lot safer traveling through this world together. But if you're going to ask for help, you do need to know who the kind of person is that you should be asking help from. Which is kind of the problem, because some people are going to be happy to give you ideas that are going to get you going in totally the wrong direction. Which again, I think is Jesus' primary concern here in Luke 20, since he says, beware. This is mainly a warning who not to ask help from, because clearly it's not always super obvious. And so Jesus gives some help in verse 49, or in verse 46, identifying who to beware of, because there's criteria. In other words, it's not like good enough to just go with your gut. I don't like this guy, he seems funny. Which is probably how a lot of us figure out who to listen to anymore and who not to listen to. 5 minutes in, he's kind of loud, I'm gonna turn him off and listen to somebody who's seems more chill or something. And if we're well taught, sometimes we can get away with that for a while. If biblical values have gripped our lives, we might be right a lot of times, but we just have to be careful, because we've got a lot of different reasons we listen to some people more than others, honestly. And they're not always good ones. There are people that you have been trained to take seriously, like since you were a child. Your culture's been telling you, take seriously people who speak with confidence. That goes really far in America, like all the way, you know, to the highest level. If you just speak with a lot of confidence, people will listen. And other people are hard to take seriously because they don't seem as impressive for one reason or another, that our culture maybe tells us, like, this kind of person doesn't know, even sometimes what they wear. And I don't know, your instincts sometimes might be right, but it might be wrong. But either way, you need to go back to the Bible, because the Bible does tell us who exactly to watch out for. And it doesn't have to do with how nice they seem or how old they are. Some cultures are big into if they're older, they've got to be right. Or how successful they've been. Some churches, you know, a rich guy walks in, he knows everything, he's got to be an elder. But the Bible, it does, the people it tells us to beware of, the people it tells us to listen to, it doesn't really have to do with any of that. It has to do, one, with what they're saying, and two, how they're living. Those are the two big criteria, teaching and character. And here in this text, like the one we're looking at, Jesus primarily focuses on character. But other passages, even in Luke, he often focuses on what they're teaching. And so we definitely need to be able to identify both of those threats, which means that as we're listening to what somebody's saying about the kind of issues that the Bible talks about, we should be asking questions like, what are they telling me about God? Like, what's the view of God here? Because when somebody's giving you bad counsel, the God behind their counsel is usually pretty small. They might be using his name, but if you listen to the counsel, the God that they're talking about is not that important. He's not that good. He's not that sovereign. He's not that significant a part of your life, though they might be saying some true things about him with their mouths. That's why you have to think like the Pharisees. They might have said some good things about God, but Jesus looks at their life and he's like, this proves you don't know how holy God is or how gracious God is because of the things you're emphasizing here in your teaching. And then you can ask, what are they telling me about me? Because bad ideas are usually trying to get you to focus on yourself and what you want, not what God wants. And you got to at least realize you're a little bit of a sucker for that. If somebody's telling you to do what you want and can put a religious language on it, that's like, for some of us, or for all of us, that's really tempting to want to be true. And sometimes the way they do that can sound super religious, like the Pharisees and scribes who are using religion to exalt themselves. And then, of course, you need to ask, what are they saying the ultimate problem is? Because bad counsel is going to be focused more on now than eternity, and usually more concerned about the outside than what's going on in the inside. You remember how Jesus says, you clean the outside of the cup, but the inside remains filthy. And then you got to ask, what are they saying the solution is? Too, because usually it's going to be something you do, because we all really want to be the hero or the victim. We're kind of happy either way. We'll pick either one. But mostly we all want the movie to mainly be about us. And so somebody tells us something that makes it sound like it's in our hands or it's not our fault. We naturally are going to be loving that. Like the Pharisees, whose big problem was they were self-righteous, which is still most people's big problem. And it's like poison to any counsel someone's giving you because it's so against the flow of everything the Bible teaches. And you're wanting to base all the important stuff you do on that, what the Bible teaches, which is why as we're listening, we always need to be asking, where is this person getting their answers from? Because when it comes to issues that the Bible talks about, you should be able to find their answers in the Bible. And that's why you want to be working at knowing your Bible as well as you can know it, which is like a lifelong project. And with all the ideas coming at us all the time, we might sometimes feel a little intimidated because we don't know everything that we should know to be able to spot all the bad influence, which of course is part of why we have the church and we have the Holy Spirit and we keep working. But one quick, simple test that I always like to use when I'm not sure about something somebody's saying is just how similar does what they're saying sound to what my culture is already telling me? Because we are conditioned to be gullible to certain ideas by hearing them so often growing up. That somebody takes a bad idea from our culture and if they can make it sound Christian-ish, it's really hard for us to spot or turn away from. And so if we're going to obey this command to beware, obviously we know from all kinds of passages of Scripture that we have to pay attention to what people are saying. But Jesus here focuses on how they're living, their character. And I kind of want to shout that out because one mistake we make sometimes is that we have higher standards than the Bible. Or I should probably say different standards than the Bible that we're judging people on. Standards we made up or that somebody told us were important that we use to evaluate who we should listen to. And you know, that is, honestly, that is a massive problem in the church. Like if you look at what many church members, I mean just around the world, are criticizing other people for, so often you have to ask, but like, is that even a problem in the Bible? I think about the way people judge preachers sometimes. And then I look at like 1 Timothy chapter 3. And I'm like, huh, I wonder where some of that is there in 1 Timothy 3. You know, like all the stuff that we're getting upset about. Are we smarter than God or something? We better be careful what we get upset about for sure. Because this is one reason why the Pharisees rejected Jesus. They didn't think the Messiah should do this. They didn't think the Messiah should do that. And so they were constantly coming after Jesus, saying he wasn't as spiritual as they were when they were actually judging Jesus on the basis of their own traditions. So that's a mistake, and it's a big one. But we don't want to make the opposite mistake either, where people hardly pay attention to someone's character. Because they're like, well, everyone's a sinner, you know, like I'm a sinner, I'm a really bad sinner. And to a certain extent, you can understand what they mean because, yeah, we are all sinners. And if you had to go out there and beware of everyone who was a sinner, you would have to beware of everybody. But at the same time, there are certain kinds of unrepentant sins that are especially dangerous. And yet, the kind of unrepentant sins that are especially dangerous when it comes to religious teachers, I'm not sure are always as big a deal to us as they were to Jesus, honestly. Because, yeah, it's not some of the things that would normally come to our minds. Which, of course, is why he identifies them. And the first thing he brings up is when somebody loves attention. Luke writes, verse 45, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes." And it's good to ask what Jesus means by that because, you know, most people aren't walking around in long robes anymore. So if that's all there were to it, like, oh, that guy has a long robe on. I better watch out. This would be pretty easy. Which is why it's probably better to focus on the word like. Likes to walk around in long robes. Because if we think about what does he mean when he talks about liking that? We can see the issue. Because I don't think the problem is them liking to be comfortable or something. Like, oh, these long robes are just get the air better, or even just enjoying a nice outfit, but it's caring so much about impressing people by what he looked like, and using clothes to exert power, because apparently long robes in Jesus' day were part of like a fancy wardrobe, and that's even what the word means. If you look up the term, it refers to out of the ordinary, look at me clothing. And so I'm not good with slang, but maybe somebody like Francis would say, this is someone who likes to slay or has a lot of drip. I don't know. That could be totally wrong. I like that he can do that so much better. But however you put it, they're wanting to get the attention on themselves by what they wear, which feels crazy to have to talk about. When we're talking about people we're looking to give us important counsel. Like we have to say, watch out for guys who just love to impress you with what they wear. But I'm telling you, we can be pretty superficial and put a lot of value on how people look. I remember a few years ago, I was a missionary in South Africa. I came over. We went up to San Luis Obispo. We were walking down the street there, and we went into this store. I thought it was a store. It looked like a store to me. And yet there weren't any price tags on any of the clothing. There was just a guy sitting there looking at me as I was, you know, looking at all these jackets and stuff. And I thought, this is weird. There's no price tags here. And suddenly the guy looks at me, talks to me. He's like, oh, I see you think this is a store. And I'm like, yeah, I kind of thought it was a store. You got a sign out there. He said, well, it's not exactly a store. This store you can only shop at by invitation. And at that point, I was trying to leave. Like, whoa, I definitely walked into the wrong store. But I was trying to be polite. And he was starting getting out all these pants and these jackets that he wanted me to try on for some reason, so I guess I was invited. And he asked me what I was doing there, and I was on furlough, like I said, so I told him I was a pastor. And he said, oh, wow, yeah, that's great. I have a pastor who will only buy pants from me. He doesn't even live in California, but he travels all the way to California to buy pants from me once a year. And he buys pants from me because he says the people he's teaching think those pants are cool, and they'll listen to him if he's wearing those nice pants. And I was thinking, oh my goodness, let me out of here. And also, like, if the people only listen to you because of the pants you're wearing, then you're not a pastor. But that's what motivates many people out there. And we're people, so, like, who are we to think that we're above that? Which means that we need to watch out when someone giving us instructions cares so much about how other people think he looks. Or about being honored. Jesus says, beware of people who love greetings in the marketplaces. And he's not talking about people who like to talk like, oh, that person's really friendly. And he loves saying, how are you? I better watch out for him. No, this is more specific. Because back in Jesus's day, when teachers went into public places, they were supposed to be greeted a certain way. There was like a whole formality to it. A certain way that showed that they were important, more important than other people. Kind of like if you keep going, they loved being given the best seats in the synagogues or the places of honor at feast. And you know, some people like love that bold print. And you remember Jesus talked about this before. So this was a big issue for the people in Jesus's day. And it's still an issue, I'm sure. Like, I actually think this is one of the tricky things about spiritual leadership. Because to be a leader, you're going to usually have to step up. Otherwise, you're kind of a follower, right? And when you love Jesus and somebody you see somebody steps up, you should be excited and be thankful. Like, that's a legitimately good thing. But what happens is that some people aren't really trusting that they're justified by what Jesus did. And they're seeking their justification through other people's approval. And so they really like other people being excited and thankful and honoring them. And they see that sometimes happens when people step up in churches. And that's why they don't mind stepping up. And sometimes that's why they're stepping up to be spiritual leaders. It's not because they enjoy being justified. It's because they want to be justified by people's approval. And you know, those kinds of people are dangerous. And it's not our job to go around like thinking we know everybody's motives. But there's got to be some line that someone can cross where they're doing spiritual things for self-centered reasons. And when that happens, you know it's only a matter of time. Like, usually there's going to either need to be some super big repentance or the leader is going to become super dangerous, even if for a while he's saying some of the right things with his mouth. Because if I'm all focused and worried about what you think of me or getting glory for myself now, then I'm not trusting what the Bible says about who I am and what I deserve. And I'm not trusting what the Bible says about the way God's going to glorify me in the future. He's going to do that fine. And so even if I might be saying the gospel, my life is not showing that I'm believing it. If I'm dominated by gaining other people's honor or getting respect, and if someone is not actively believing the gospel and trying to tell you how to live your life for God, it is not going to end well. Which is why Jesus says, beware of people who like being honored and looked at too much. And remember, Jesus is talking about real people who are like standing there as he's saying it at that moment. And so he's really bold, Jesus. And we're not Jesus, so this can be hard to figure out sometimes, because once in a while, the reason we think somebody's proud is because we're proud. Whenever I'm bothered by somebody else's pride, I'm always asking, is the real reason that they're proud, or is it just that I'm proud and I don't like them being honored or seeming confident? So personally, I try to give people the benefit of the doubt as long as I can. But the truth is, after a while, what somebody's about usually becomes pretty obvious, and it isn't too hard to spot that these people are not actually about Jesus, but about themselves. Because one, they're so concerned about impressing other people, and two, they're so hard on vulnerable people. Like, you listen to them talk, they've got no mercy for weak people. That's the second characteristic Jesus gives in verse 47. They devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. And I don't know exactly how they did this, so I think the next story that we'll see next week in Luke 21, verse 1, is an example. But he's really been going after this the whole gospel, Jesus. If you think about what he says about poor spiritual leadership, it seems like the two main problems he points out in the religious leaders over and over are self-righteousness or self-exaltation and then contempt of other people. And what I mean is like a lack of grace, a lack of compassion, a lack of love for the vulnerable. And so, man, you need to watch out for hypocritical spiritual bullies, because some people are bullies. I think that's the point. And you have to watch out, because at first you can be impressed by someone who seems super serious and he's making these long prayers. But not everybody is doing spiritual things because they're spiritual, like the scribes, Jesus says, who actually for pretense make long prayers, not for communion with God, but for manipulating people into thinking they're sincere so they can take advantage of vulnerable people so they can make money off of them somehow, which, of course, we don't want to think is real, like that people could be like that. I know, like, I definitely don't want to think that the world is as bad as it is or that we're in quite as vulnerable position as we are. But we're more vulnerable if we don't recognize that we're vulnerable. And so, of course, yeah, we don't want to go around just questioning every thing and thinking, hey, like, I know everybody's motivations. You smiled when somebody said, good job. Oh, you must really love this. Or like, your prayer was a little long today, so maybe you're just pretending. That's just weird. But at the same time, the world hasn't changed that much since Jesus has given the disciples this warning. And what we're reading here is all the same stuff that's still going on all around us. And so we've got to recognize there really are people who are motivated by a desire for glory now and pride and greed who have access to us. And honestly, probably more than ever, we are constantly listening to people we never met. For some reason, it's weird nowadays, it feels like we give more respect to people we've never met than people we have met. And so we're constantly listening to people we've never met. We have no idea what their life is like, who are giving us all kinds of counsel. And that can sometimes be a blessing. But it also can be a big danger. And so we need to be aware. Because there is a heaven and there's a hell. And because ideas and opinions influence you, and we're not going to be able to isolate ourselves from all that, because that's just part of how we were designed to work. And so we have to be able to spot who to be influenced by and who not to be influenced by. And Jesus tells us why this is so important. It's because there's a judgment. End of verse 47. He looks at the scribes and he says, they will receive the greater condemnation. And condemnation from who? God. And so there's accountability here. There's a moment we're all going to stand before God someday. And that means what we think, what we believe, what we do matters, and who we listen to matters, because there are ideas out there coming from people everybody's telling us to respect who seem like they should know that are wrong, and not only wrong, they're like anti-God at the bottom of it. Like ideas that are literally coming from people who are going to be judged forever in a more extreme way because of the position or influence they've been given. And yet if you're not careful and you just listen to whoever you listen to, you could end up following them there. Like some of the people Jesus is talking to in Luke 20. You know, like the ones that are listening in as he talks to the disciples, the people in the crowd, because I think Jesus has given them a moment, which is why Luke probably mentions at the beginning that he said this to the disciples in the hearing of all the people. Because he wants them to have a chance, because he knows these scribes are about to start talking and going after Jesus, and that they're going to be tempted to listen, and actually did, many of them. That's what is so sad. Even though Jesus warned them to be careful, many of these people weren't, and as a result, they ended up following the scribes and the other religious leaders and crucifying Jesus, which seems extreme. And I know we're not going to do that, but still, it's why we have to beware, because even though we aren't going to go that far, we might end up being influenced by people who are going to do us serious spiritual damage. It happens. It's happened to people you wouldn't expect, to people you wouldn't expect. And so what do you do? Be careful. Be humble enough to know you don't know as much as you think you know. Evaluate everything by scripture. Ask for help. Know who to ask for help when you need it. Specifically, listen to what people are saying. Watch how they're living humbly, but watch. And be serious about it, because there's a judgment. And also, honestly, because there's a gospel. Like, living for now and for people's approval and using religion to get what you want is so not worth it. When there's a Jesus who actually came and died for us, that we might have peace with God, and rose again, that we might be glorified and live forever. And people who believe that should be different. There should be a totally different kind of leadership style if you believe you're justified, if you believe you're going to stand before God one day, if you believe Jesus is who he says he is. And those kinds of leaders are out there. They're out there. Jesus says, beware of the scribes, but you can flip it And you can also say, look out for people to give input into your life because you need it, who aren't controlled by gaining other people's approval through their appearance or status, and who aren't self-righteous, and who have big hearts for the vulnerable, and are soft and kind. Well, let me just ask you to take a moment and think, did God speak to you in any way today? And is there a way you need to respond? And ask him to help you respond like that, and then we'll sing.